Welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast, where we talk to C-level leaders from across the payments landscape. We'll be discussing the products and services that impact the payment space today, as well as trends and predictions for the future of payments. We will also hear stories from our guests about their journeys to the top.
If you look at all of these blockchains, all of these cryptocurrencies, there are literally billions and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of value stored in these blockchains. And by adding cryptocurrency as a payment method to your service, you can tap into that wealth.
That was Stephen Pair, the co-founder and CEO of BitPay. This is episode 37 of the Leaders in Payments podcast, and Stephen is our special guest this week. I'm your host, Greg Myers, and hey, before we get started, if you happen to office in Houston, Austin, or the North Texas area, please check out Fuse Workspace, where their mission is to help others do more. Check them out at Fuse, F-U-S-E, workspace.com. Okay, back to the show. Stephen is a Georgia native, went to Georgia Tech, where he got his computer science degree, and currently lives right outside of Atlanta. BitPay was founded in 2011 with the idea of enabling companies to accept Bitcoin payments, similar to accepting credit cards. Their customers are traditionally in the IT services, cloud hosting, electronic retailers, and in the gaming space, as well as in the B2B space. The Bitcoin database was launched in 2009 and has never been compromised. Stephen thinks that most payments in the future will be conducted on the blockchain. If you want to learn more about Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, and blockchain as it relates to the payments industry, this is the episode you need to listen to. So let's get started. Hi, Stephen. Thank you for being here and welcome to the Leaders in Payments podcast.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Great to be on.
Thank you. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself, maybe where you grew up, where you went to school, where you currently live, a few things like that.
Yeah, well, I'm a Georgia native, grew up just in a suburb of Atlanta, went to school at Georgia Tech, got my computer science degree there. And outside of living for a short period of time, about a year in San Francisco, in the Atlanta area my whole life. And that's where I reside today. So BitPay's headquartered just outside of Atlanta in Alpharetta. And I live about 15 minutes away from the office.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about BitPay. I'm really interested to learn about the company today. So maybe tell the audience just a little bit about what BitPay does.
So BitPay was founded in 2011. My co-founder, Tony, and I started the company with the idea that we would take this great new technology called Bitcoin and enable companies to do what it was designed to do, which is to facilitate payments. So the idea was basically create an API that companies could tie into that worked very similarly to a credit card gateway. And so from their perspective, there's very little, it was a very familiar API that they could connect to. And then we would handle all of the cryptocurrency side of that transaction. And so that would enable their customers to then pay with Bitcoin. At that time, that was the only cryptocurrency. And yeah, really create a service for those companies that allowed them to derive, you know, the value of this new payment technology.
And today it's expanded to have a consumer part of the business. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have the BitPay wallet, and our wallet is focused on the commerce use case. So being able to make payments and really give cryptocurrency holders the ability to tap into that wealth and in a variety of different ways, whether it's purchasing something from one of our merchants on our platform or buying gift cards or topping up their MasterCard debit card. We really want to make it easy for people that have wealth accumulated in cryptocurrencies to be able to spend that, you know, with as few friction points as possible.
Sure. And how big is the company?
We're about 80 people today.
Okay. Are there certain markets or verticals that are better than others, or pretty much anyone that's accepting payments?
Well, it is anyone that's accepting payments. And so we have companies across that run the spectrum of different types of industries. But I would say that companies that appeal to a younger demographic, early technology adopters. So we've traditionally had a lot of IT services type companies, cloud hosting and that sort of thing, electronics retailers. Also in the video gaming space, we have a number of companies that have integrated our payment platform into theirs. On the other side, we also do a lot of B2B transactions. So those tend to be, you know, one company paying a vendor or supplier that might be located in a different country. And there are cross-border friction points there with traditional payments that we can help them alleviate. And so we see a lot of that. And actually, a good bit of our volume is on the B2B side. Those tend to be much higher value transactions.
Okay. I am sure in the early days, kind of felt like you were on the wild frontier of this, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been around almost 10 years. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary next year, and that makes us the oldest blockchain company in the world. So yeah, certainly looking back at 2011, you know, I got into it because at the time I was looking to get back into a startup environment and was ready to move on from where I was at the time and do something different. And I had some ideas, but then I read the Bitcoin white paper in late 2010 and really was just captivated. And it wasn't my first experience with cryptographic payments. There was a system back in the early 1990s called DigiCash. And that's really where I kind of got interested in this whole area. And, you know, DigiCash went bankrupt and it was a centralized system. So a little bit different than Bitcoin, but you know, when they went bankrupt, a lot of computer scientists started thinking, well, how can we create a payment system for the internet that doesn't depend on one company running it? And to be honest, over the years, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, I and a lot of other computer scientists, I kind of just thought that maybe that's impossible. And you're just always going to need some company to clear the transactions in the middle of everything. And then Bitcoin came along and I read the white paper late 2010. And yeah, I was just instantly captivated. I had heard about it when it first launched in 2009, but I kind of dismissed it because the headline of the story was run this computer program and generate money. And
I was like, that's a little scary.
That can't possibly work. Right.
Right.
And then, but when I actually read the computer science white paper that describes Bitcoin, and then I understood the purpose of mining, and it wasn't just about running a program, it was about securing the database. So you run all these miners that everybody talks about, what they're actually doing is securing the network. And then it all clicked and made sense. And yeah, from that point, I was kind of hooked and started trying to figure out how to do this on a full-time basis. And that's when I started talking to Tony, you know, and he and I talked about a number of different business models maybe we could do, but we settled on BitPay. And the model then was to enable companies to use this technology for payments and build tools that facilitated conducting payments. And that was the business model then, and it's still the business model today.
If you don't mind, maybe explain sort of the difference between Bitcoin and the blockchain, or maybe explain like in business terms how those two things work together.
Yeah. So blockchain is I would describe it as a type of database, a new kind of database. And in fact, you know, I'm so excited about that technology there that I believe most databases will eventually become blockchain databases. And the internet will over time become a web of interconnected blockchain databases. So blockchain is a type of database, and it's Bitcoin is the original blockchain database, the first blockchain database in the world. And at the time, you know, Bitcoin's target use case was payments, a system of money for the internet, if you want to think of it that way. It attracted a lot of people that weren't very happy about how central banking and all that kind of stuff works, and kind of anti-authoritarian, if you will. But that's just one use case. There are many use cases that this technology can apply to. I think payments is a great use case. I think ultimately all payments will be done, not all, but most payments will be done in some type of blockchain transaction. And I say most because I think today most transactions online are probably done on credit card rails of some kind or PayPal, but some people out there still write paper checks, you know?
Right, right.
But there are many other use cases. If you step back and you look at the Bitcoin database, it was launched in 2009. And it has never been compromised. And unlike a traditional database, like think of an Oracle database, what do? You set up this database, you build applications that can tie into that database and manipulate that database. And then you put these walls around it to protect it from intruders, bad people that could hack into that, you know, hack through these boundary defenses, get into that database, modify it, and do bad things, right? You look at the Bitcoin database, it was launched in 2009. And it's a completely different model. Instead of trying to keep bad people out, it invites everybody in and says, as long as you play by the rules, you're free to modify this database just like anybody else. And that's, from a computer science perspective, that's a game changer. I mean, that's a huge thing. And it's probably the longest running publicly accessible database that's never been hacked. And it's also got the most computing power behind it. When you compare it to other blockchains, it's got the most computing power behind it, securing it. And that lends itself to some use cases that might not be appropriate for other blockchains. So yeah, it's all very exciting.
Yeah. So just curious, how does the conversation go when you talk to a merchant about BitPay and Bitcoin and blockchain? Are those scary terms to merchants, or is that sort of just old news and people are more accepting and willing to want to understand, or they are already down the path of wanting to accept it? What does that conversation typically look like?
Yeah, it's been great. I would say, yeah, there are some, you know, you run into skeptics, you run into people that worry about various things. But I would say, even before we took our first seed round of funding, which was late 2012, I believe, early 2013, Tony and I, my co-founder, we would get invited to the boardrooms of some of the biggest companies in the world and give them a presentation about the technology. And they weren't necessarily looking to, you know, use it right away, but they were very curious and wanted to know. And so from the very early days of starting BitPay, we knew that we were touching on some pain points for some of these companies relating to payments that really struck a nerve. And very surprisingly, I think it surprised both him and I how very much open to the technology they were, you know, despite the salacious headlines and all that kind of stuff. But you do, I mean, you have to be prepared. You know, there are a lot of questions that we'll get about compliance. We'll have to talk to the accounting folks, the legal folks. They want to make sure that they're have a good partner, number one, and number two, that, you know, it's okay to do what they're thinking about doing.
Sure, sure. So I think you were, as you said, one of the first. I'm sure there's some people out there doing something similar to what you're doing. But what would you say differentiates you from your competitors out there?
I would say over the years, it's been our customer service. So from day one, we acknowledge we're in a payments business. We're transacting. We're helping people make a payment. We're dealing with their money. And people are going to be very uncomfortable, especially on the business side of it, on the merchant side of it. They're going to expect a very high level of customer service. When something goes wrong and it's involving money, people tend to get very anxious. And it's very important that we be there and do our best to serve them well. And we're also providing a service to businesses that are interfacing with their customers. And it's extremely important to them that we provide a high degree of customer service. So we had competitors that, you know, you would be lucky if they would answer an email in 2 or 3 days. And that just doesn't cut it in the payments world. And I would say we also focused on the entire life cycle of the payment. Some of our competitors did the bare minimum of what was necessary to accept cryptocurrency for a payment and deliver that to a merchant. But they didn't think about other things like currency conversion issues and doing a refund, conducting a refund, and just managing a whole payments workflow. And I think we've always been good at that. And it's something we always think about and try to improve upon.
Okay. So let's talk about the industry at a broader level. Where do you see the payments industry heading, say, in the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, I mentioned that I do think that blockchain payments are the future. I think most payments will be conducted on a blockchain of some form. I mean, that statement is largely based upon the security properties of a blockchain. It's mentioned that Bitcoin itself is a database that's been around for over 10 years and never been hacked. So I think the properties of a blockchain database lend itself well to the payments use case. And that's why I think ultimately we'll see most forms of payment employing blockchain technology to some degree. And so at BitPay, our goal is very simply to be the best platform for processing payments on a blockchain. But I think there are some, when you look at Bitcoin as a form of payment, there are some friction points there. One is, as a buyer on the buyer side of a transaction, if it's a payment through BitPay, oftentimes we're settling to the merchant in dollars. Most of the time, we're settling to them in either dollars, euros, or some national currency, whatever their accounting system is based in. That's usually what we're settling to them. On the buyer side, oftentimes the buyer may look at this payment type. If they're not already into cryptocurrency and have some, and then they now have to go acquire cryptocurrency. And so it may be Bitcoin, they have to go buy it, source it from somewhere, and then make that payment. And that's a lot of friction. That's a lot to ask if it's a company just trying to purchase IT equipment or cloud hosting, right? On top of that, your accountants have to account for capital gains and losses once you've taken that cryptocurrency onto the balance sheet. That could be a big ask as well, a huge ask. So when I look forward into the future, what I think is actually the way things are going to go is most of the payments are going to actually be conducted in the native accounting system of the companies involved in the payment. So the payer, let's say they're in Brazil, they'll pay in Brazilian real. And if the recipient is in Europe, the recipient's going to receive euros. But what it's going to be is it's going to be not just real in a bank account. It's going to be real stored in a wallet, and it's real issued on a blockchain, maybe the Bitcoin blockchain, maybe the Ethereum blockchain or one of the other blockchains. But it's real that's issued on a blockchain. They'll make that payment, and then the company on the other end of that getting settled in euros, they'll receive euros into a wallet in their treasury management system. and it will be euros issued on a blockchain. And at BitPay, we want to make those transactions easy and simple for companies to conduct and handle all the currency conversions in the middle. Now, what it means for that Brazilian company and the company in Europe receiving the payment, it means they no longer have to deal with the capital gains and losses because they're dealing in the same currency that they're conducting the transactions in the same currency as their accounting system. But it's the blockchain that those real and euros are issued on that's powering all this. And it may be Bitcoin, it may be Ethereum, it may be one of the other blockchains. Those native tokens, the Bitcoin or the Ethers, they're necessary to make those blockchains function, and they create the incentive mechanism to secure those blockchains. So even though you're not doing the payments directly in the underlying cryptocurrency, the underlying cryptocurrency is essential for that whole system to work, if that makes sense.
Sure. Do you think that's 2 to 3 years out, or that's more 7 to 10 years out?
I would say 3 to 5 years. I used to say it's probably still 10 years away. And it makes me really nervous too as a company. I've been a part of a couple startups before, and we were probably 10 years too early to the market. And being early is a really bad place to be. And I thought with payments, we're kind of back in 2011, I thought, well, I don't think we're early in the sense of early adopters using it. I think we could build a viable business right then in 2011 in very short order doing this service. But in terms of mass adoption, in terms of you walking into a restaurant and expecting to be able to pay with a blockchain-based wallet as much as you expect to pay with MasterCard and Visa, yeah, I think that's 3 to 5 years away.
Okay. Are there any trends or things that you think people might be interested in, whether I think you guys were involved in a Forrester report lately, but whether it was related to that or not, are there sort of trends or maybe sentiments that consumers and businesses have around Bitcoin and the blockchain that you want to mention?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the Forrester report that we recently did. You know, in the old days, we would go to a merchant and talk about all the obvious things you would think about in terms of why you would want to accept this form of payment. It's, you know, global, cross-border, works wherever you have internet access, low fees, low cost, no chargebacks, and a simple pricing model when it comes to BitPay. And those are all the obvious things. But what we found over the years is that the more compelling arguments for merchants are that if you look at all of these blockchains, all of these cryptocurrencies, there are literally billions and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of value stored in these blockchains. And by adding cryptocurrency as a payment method to your service, you can tap into that wealth. And actually what we're finding, and with the help of Forrester, we're really able to make this point very crisp, is that when a company adds crypto payments to their platform, oftentimes it's going to be the number one alternative payment method. In a number of industries, we're seeing that start to happen. And I think over time, you're going to see, you know, the first step is to become the number one alternative payment method before you become the dominant payment method, right? And we're starting to see that. I think cryptocurrency in the next few years will absolutely become the number one alternative payment method. But when you talk to a merchant, what do they care about? They care about the cost savings and the reliability of the payment method, user experience, and all that. But what they really care about are new customers. And when they add BitPay to their platform, they can typically see about 40 to 50% of those customers that pay with BitPay are actually new customers. And we get this question all the time with a merchant. It's like, okay, I'm going to add BitPay. Am I going to see new customers, or are my existing customers just going to stop paying with Visa and start paying with BitPay? And normally it's the former, where it's mostly new customers that are coming to their business. And then we as a company look at that and we say, well, how can we become really excellent at helping those companies market their goods and their services to the cryptocurrency community, the people that have those hundreds of billions of dollars in their wallets? And that's, we're becoming better and better at that. And I think that is a really compelling argument for why a company really, it's getting to a point where it's not a question any longer. They have to accept crypto payments, at least in certain industries today.
Yeah, that's quite a compelling value prop. When you can walk in and have a conversation, not about cost related to accepting payments, but how you can drive more customers and more revenue, which I probably would guess their retention level goes up because people enjoy paying with that. So they're going to stay with that merchant longer. So that's a very compelling value proposition for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about your journey and how you got to be the co-founder and CEO of BitPay.
Yeah, I touched on it earlier. My background is computer science, went to Georgia Tech, met my co-founder at Georgia Tech, actually. And as I mentioned, in the early 1990s, I was a fan of DigiCash and just got fascinated about this question of how do you replicate the concept of money on the internet. And back then, many more payments were done with physical money, you know, bills and coins and such. And so I do remember thinking it somewhere along the way, you know, if you look at a dollar bill, it's a worthless piece of paper with worthless ink stamped on it, yet people assign it value. And what that really means is that it's an information system. And if it's an information system, you should be able to replicate that entirely in the digital world. So I just got fascinated with the DigiCash. I got really fascinated with DigiCash. I was a big fan of, you know, Phil Zimmerman and what he was doing with PGP. And, you know, just as a kid, I was fascinated by cryptography, and being kind of a math-oriented person, that fascinated me. And then here's this company trying to use cryptography to create a secure payment system for the internet. And David Chaum was leading that company. And, you know, I was a fan of that, and then just started reading up on how payment systems work, how central banking works, how international correspondent banking works, all that kind of stuff. And just over the years, sought out projects that were trying to tackle this problem, and just kind of, you know, while I had my day job, was kind of following this on the side. And I, you know, BitPay is my second startup as a co-founder, and then my fourth startup that I've been a part of. You know, I've been employee number 9 at one company and number 40 at another company. And those both I considered to be startups, small companies. And I really enjoyed that time. And so I was with this one software product for, I guess, about 6 or 7 years and leading a team at IBM with that product. And I was just ready to get back into a startup environment and looking for ideas. And like I said earlier, I read the Bitcoin white paper in late 2010 and then just started playing around with, you know, thinking of ways that I could do this on a full-time basis and either join a startup or found a startup. And at that time, there weren't really any Bitcoin startups to join, especially not in Atlanta. So I started talking to Tony in early 2011, and you know, he was kind of like me when he first heard of Bitcoin. He was like, "That can't possibly work. You should, yeah, just move on." But then the more he studied it, he came to the same conclusions that I did, and realized the potential. And he wrote me a long email one day with sort of outlining the concept of BitPay and let's go, because we had talked about starting an exchange and doing other things. And yeah, he wrote me this long email about what we can do with BitPay. Let's enable businesses to accept it as a form of payment. And I think I wrote him back a one-line email and said, "Let's do it."
And that was, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and that was like around April. We formed the company in May of 2011, and we worked a lot to try and get the product launched. And you know, and we launched it after the 4th of July. We figured we were ready to go before the 4th of July in 2011, but we figured we'd enjoy the holiday before we got busy with accepting customers. And in those days, we were happy to get 5 or 10 transactions a day. So, right, it's come a long way.
Has the name always been BitPay?
It has, yeah. It was originally Bit-Pay. I mean, there's a whole story about how we actually got the domain too. I mean, it was Bit-Pay because BitPay was already taken. And we were like, we looked up who owned BitPay.com, and we had a difficult time finding the person. And we went through one of these domain brokers, and it was listed for sale. We made an offer for it. I think we paid $10,000 for the domain. And, you know, it was... And we got no response. It was listed on one of these domain marketplaces, and we made the offer through it, and we got no response. It actually took, somebody gave us a suggestion. Somebody who is an expert in acquiring domains said, maybe one thing that might work is if you send a FedEx letter to them. And this person was in Thailand, I think. And so we put this FedEx in the mail, and sure enough, they responded. You know, I think they said, if you receive a FedEx and you express an interest in buying the domain and you receive this physical piece of thing in your mailbox, then, you know, it tells the person you're more serious about it, right? And so, I think the guy had just said, I had forgotten about, I even owned the domain, and I'd listed it and I wasn't paying attention and wasn't getting the notifications. So yeah, anyway, that's how we ended up changing our name from Bit-Pay to BitPay.com.
That's interesting. There's always an interesting story behind a company name, so that's cool. What are some things that you have a passion for? So maybe name one thing work-related and one thing more personal-related.
Oh, okay. In terms of work, one thing that I'm really passionate about is how do we take BitPay the company and create BitPay the blockchain? And I mentioned how, you know, I think the internet's eventually going to become a world of interconnected blockchains. If you look at what we do in our back office, a great way to make that back office operations and the back office database more secure is to employ the same kind of techniques that Bitcoin and other blockchains themselves employ. And what that fundamentally means is you have many computers that are all independently secured and independently validating everything that happens on the platform. And that's basically what a blockchain is. And so how do you take all the services of BitPay and actually recast them in, you know, from a more traditional architecture into a blockchain architecture? And it's a big technical challenge. And we've been kind of chipping away at that problem for a long time. But once we do that, we'll feel a lot better about releasing new kind of capabilities and new services and knowing that it's all secure. Because if you're a Bitcoin or a blockchain company and you have cryptocurrency, you're dealing with cryptocurrency, if somebody breaks into your service and steals a bunch of Bitcoin, well, you can't call the bank and get the Bitcoin back, right? It just doesn't work like that. So you better be absolutely sure that when you send Bitcoin out, that you're doing it based on credible data and not data that's been hacked or compromised. So that's, for me, that's a very difficult technical computer science problem that I would really like our team to figure out, you know, how to solve. And we've partially solved it, but we have more work to do on that. So that's work. I guess a personal one, I'm a pilot. I enjoy flying, enjoy the learning aspects of that. And, you know, I got a plane earlier this year. And unfortunately, with COVID, we haven't been able to take a lot of trips in the plane. You know, I can fly places, but you can't, you know, restaurants are closed and
right.
Don't feel entirely comfortable staying in a hotel. And so I've tended to just kind of go up and, you know, buzz around a little bit and land, you know, for
right
during these past few months. But that's something I really enjoy. It gets my mind off things and you kind of have to be focused on what you're doing in that environment.
Sure. Yep. Okay, cool. So I always like to ask this question, the whole payment space and specifically, you know, what you guys are working on. And if you want to add fintech in there, have become pretty hot places for people right out of college to go to. I mean, when I started in payments, I just sort of fell into it, didn't really have a reason to get into payments other than it was a job. But I think that's changed, right? There's been so much money pumped into this industry as a whole. What would your advice be to someone who's just coming out of college, wants to get into fintech, payments, you know, Bitcoin, that whole sort of environment? What would your advice be to them?
Well, you know, if they're interested in one day starting their own company, a great thing for anybody, whether it's in payments or otherwise, is to go get a job at a startup. And you'll learn a lot very quickly in that environment. You know, if you're a small team, a small company, you'll get exposed to a lot that you wouldn't get exposed to in a larger corporate setting. But in the payments and the fintech space specifically, you know, there's a lot of companies, I mean, hundreds of companies now in the blockchain world. So there's plenty of opportunity to go get a job with one of those companies. If you have the ability and the means, you know, start writing some code and build something, even while you're in school, don't wait till you're out of school. You can certainly contribute to some of the many projects out there in the blockchain space and just kind of teach yourself the technology if you happen to be a developer and technically inclined. Yeah, the one interesting thing about payments and the fintech space in general. So first of all, I think there's a lot of interest in it because it's sort of one of the last industries that hasn't really been transformed by technology. I mean, it has to some degree, but not really. You know, we can look at so many other industries over the last several decades that have been completely disrupted and transformed by the internet and software. But payments and fintech is, you know, it's getting there, but it's not quite done and hasn't been completely transformed yet. So it's an exciting place to be from that perspective. There's a tremendous amount of transformation that lies ahead in the next couple of decades. But if you're going to start a company in fintech or in payments, one thing that is unusual about a software startup in that environment is that you're going to be subjected to regulations and compliance, and you're going to have to hire compliance people. And it's just part of the deal. You know, you don't, when you're starting, I don't know, a social media startup of some kind, you don't have that aspect of it, right? So that's a little bit different than people that may have been involved in software startups in other industries. And I would say in the fintech world, it takes a bit longer to sort of gain a foothold and really achieve the kind of growth that, you know, the venture capital world likes to see. You know, they're 2 or 3 years in the venture capital world is an eternity, and they like to see that hockey stick growth happen very quickly. In the fintech world, it usually takes a bit longer than even they're accustomed to.
Well, we've covered a lot today about the company, BitPay, about the industry as a whole, and about you and your background and career. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
No, not that I can think of. I mean, everybody, you know, one question I often get that I hate is, you know, what's the price of Bitcoin going to be? I'm glad you didn't ask that one. I hate answering that question. My wife will ask me, you know, why is the price higher? Why is the price lower? It's always, my answer is always, I don't know. You know, it's more buyers than sellers or more sellers than buyers.
Right. Right. Well, great. So I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being on the show. I know your time is very valuable, so I wanted to be respectful of that. But thank you so much for being on today.
No, thank you, Greg. I really enjoyed it.
Good. And to all you listeners out there, I thank you for your time as well. And until the next story.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Leaders in Payments podcast. Make sure you visit our website at leadersinpayments.com, where you can subscribe to the show and where you'll find our show notes. If you enjoyed listening, please share on your social channels as well.